Miss Trujillo said that you wanted to see us, Hickory said.
Dickory and Gretchen, who had gotten the two open for me, stood to its side. We were standing on the hill where my bodyguards had attacked me a few days earlier. Before I say anything else, you should know I am still incredibly angry at you, I said. I don't know that I will ever forgive you for attacking me, even if I understand why you did it and why you thought you had to. I want to make sure you know that, and I want to make sure you feel it. I pointed to Hickory's consciousness collar, secure around its neck.
We feel it, Hickory said, its voice quivering. We feel it enough that we debated whether we could turn our consciousness back on. The memory is almost too painful to bear.
I nodded. I wanted to say good, but I knew it was the wrong thing to say and that I would regret saying it. Didn't mean I couldn't think it, though, for the moment, anyway. I'm not going to ask you to apologize, I said. I know you won't, but I want your word you will never do something like that again, I said.
You have our word, Hickory said.
Thank you, I said. I didn't expect they would do something like that again. That sort of thing works once if it works at all, but that wasn't the point. What I wanted was to feel like I could trust the two of them again. I wasn't there yet.
Will you train? Hickory asked.
Yes, I said, but I have two conditions. Hickory waited. The first is that Gretchen trains with me.
We had not prepared to train anyone other than you, Hickory said.
I don't care, I said. Gretchen is my best friend. I'm not going to learn how to save myself and not share that with her. And besides, I don't know if you've noticed, but the two of you aren't exactly human-shaped. I think it will help to practice with another human as well as with you. But this is non-negotiable. If you won't train Gretchen, I won't train. This is my choice. This is my condition. Hickory turned to Gretchen.
Will you train?
Only if Zoe does, she said. She's my best friend, after all.
Hickory looked over to me.
She has your sense of humor, it said.
I hadn't noticed, I said. Hickory turned back to Gretchen.
It will be very difficult, it said.
I know, Gretchen said. Count me in anyway.
What is the other condition? Hickory asked me.
I'm doing this for the two of you, I said. This learning to fight. I don't want it for myself. I don't think I need it. But you think I need it, and you've never asked me to do something you didn't know was important. So I'll do it. But now you have to do something for me, something I want.
What is it that you want? Hickory asked.
I want you to learn how to sing, I said, and gestured to Gretchen. You teach us to fight, we teach you to sing. For the Hootenannies.
Sing, Hickory said.
Yes, sing, I said. People are still frightened of the two of you, and no offense, but you're not brimming with personality. But if we can get the four of us to do a song or two at the Hootenannies, it could go a long way to making people comfortable with you.
We have never sung, Hickory said.
Well, you never wrote stories before either, I said. And you wrote one of those. It's just like that, except with singing. And then people wouldn't wonder why Gretchen and I are off with the two of you. Come on, Hickory, it'll be fun. Hickory looked doubtful, and a funny thought came to me. Maybe Hickory is shy. Which seemed almost ridiculous, someone about to teach another person 16 different ways to kill, getting stage fright singing.
I would like to sing, Dickory said.
We all turned to Dickory in amazement.
It speaks, Gretchen said.
Hickory clicked something to Dickory in their native tongue. Dickory clicked back. Hickory responded, and Dickory replied. It seemed a bit forcefully. And then, God help me, Hickory actually sighed.
We will sing, Hickory said.
Excellent, I said.
We will begin training tomorrow, Hickory said.
Okay, I said. But let's start singing practice today, now.
Now, Hickory said.
Sure, I said. We're all here, and Gretchen and I have just the song for you. 15. The next several months were very tiring. Early mornings, physical conditioning.
"You are soft," Hickory said to me and Gretchen the first day.
"Despicable lies," I said.
"Very well," Hickory said, and pointed to the tree line of the forest, at least a click away. "Please run to the forest as quickly as you can, then run back. Do not stop until you return."
We ran. By the time I got back, it felt like my lungs were trying to force themselves up my trachea, the better to smack me around for abusing them. Both Gretchen and I collapsed into the grass, gasping.
"You are soft," Hickory repeated.
I didn't argue, and not just because at the moment I was totally incapable of speaking.
"We are done for today. Tomorrow we will truly begin with your physical conditioning. We will start slowly."
It and Dickory walked away, leaving Gretchen and me to imagine ways we were going to murder Hickory and Dickory once we could actually force oxygen back into our bodies. Mornings. School, like every other kid and teen not actively working in a field. Limited books and supplies meant sharing with others. I shared my textbooks with Gretchen, Enzo, and Magdi. This worked fine when we were all speaking to each other, less so when some of us were not. "Will you two please focus?" Magdi said, waving his hands in front of the two of us. We were supposed to be doing calculus.
"Stop it," Gretchen said.
She had her head down on our table. It had been a hard workout that morning.
"God, I miss coffee," she said, looking up at me.
"It would be nice to get to this problem sometime today," Magdi said.
"Oh, what do you care?" Gretchen said. "It's not like any of us are going to college anyway."
"We still have to do it," Enzo said.
"You do it, then," Gretchen said.
She leaned over and pushed the book toward the two of them.
"It's not me or Zoe who has to learn this stuff. We already know it. You two are always waiting for us to do the work and then just nodding like you actually know what we're doing."
"That's not true," Magdi said.
"Really? Fine," Gretchen said. "Prove it. Impress me."
"I think someone's morning exertions are making her a little grumpy," Magdi said, mockingly. "What's that supposed to mean?" I said. "It means that since the two of you started whatever it is you're doing, you've been pretty useless here," Magdi said. "Despite what Gretchen the Grump is hinting at, it's the two of us who have been carrying the two of you lately, and you know it."
"You're carrying us in math?" Gretchen said. "I don't think so."
"Everything else, sweetness," Magdi said. "Unless you think Enzo pulling together that report on the early colonial union days last week doesn't count?"
"That's not we, that's Enzo," Gretchen said. "And thank you, Enzo. Happy, Magdi? Good. Now let's all shut up about this."
Gretchen put her head back down on the table. Enzo and Magdi looked at each other. "Here, give me the book," I said, reaching for it. "I'll do this problem." Enzo slid the book over to me, not quite meeting my gaze.